Now let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. This is the passage that I'm expounding for you this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 36 to 44. Matthew 24, 36 to 44. In the Pew Bibles, page 830. You will find it helpful to have the passage open in front of you. We're going to be referring to it. I'm actually going to be going through this passage. So do please open to it. Matthew chapter 24, 36 to 44. And this is what the passage says. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, so they will be unaware. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, we have an account of the disciples speaking to the Lord Jesus about the second coming. The Lord Jesus has been speaking about the future and how things will pan out in the future. And they had a question to him, and they said to him, this day that you've been speaking about, well, when is it going to happen? This day, when will it arise? And what will be the signs of this day? So they were full of questions, as indeed a lot of people are. When you look at history, you find that God's people have been fascinated with this subject of when will the Lord Jesus come back? And what are the signs of his coming back? How will we know that the second coming is near? Now, I wish we would take hold of the teaching of the Bible seriously at this point, because the Bible's answer is, no one knows. If a person stands up and says, I know when the Lord Jesus is coming, and I know that we are now in the last days, actually that is not true. You often hear this, don't you? You hear people say, I think we must be in the last days. I mean, look at the situation in the world. Look at the wars in the world. We must be in the last days. Surely these are the last days. But over 2,000 years there have been wars. There have been famines. There have been rumors of war. We're not the first generation to have wars. There have been terrible wars throughout the history of the world and in every part of the world. And please look at what Jesus says in verse 36. He says, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So please stop this speculation. If you're given to speculation and if you're given to hearing sermons on the internet and reading books on this, when will the second coming be? Well, here is your answer. No one knows. Jesus then speaks about his second coming, and as I said earlier, he immediately refers to this story in the Old Testament. He says to them, you want to know about the second coming. Well, he says to them, there is an incident in the Old Testament that you're all familiar with. One of the best known incidents in the Old Testament. He says, you know this incident well. And he says, that incident is designed to teach you about the second coming. You want to know about the second coming? Go back to Noah. Go back to the flood. Read the account of the flood. And you're reading real history. These things really happened. But you're also reading lessons about the second coming. And so you notice from verse 37, he immediately goes to Noah. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So the story of Noah and the flood teaches us about the second coming. We're working our way through Genesis and we've come to the passages which speak about the flood. And that's why I'm speaking about the second coming this morning, because that passage teaches us about the second coming. What does the story of Noah and the flood teach us about the second coming? Well, we're going to work our way through Matthew 24. I'll also be referring to Genesis to see what it teaches us. Three lessons I have for you this morning about the second coming of Christ. And the first and very obvious is this: the second coming is going to be sudden and unexpected. The second coming is going to be sudden and unexpected. Look at it from verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. We read about Noah and the flood earlier in the service. And we read about how God had told Noah that the flood is coming. And we know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. This is how the Apostle Peter described Noah. Peter doesn't say Noah was a boat builder. Peter says Noah was a preacher. And it surely must have been the case that Noah, as well as building the boat, was speaking to the people of his generation. And he was saying to them, look, a flood is coming. And these floods will be serious flooding. Even the highest mountains will be covered. And there's only one place of security. And that place of security is this ark that I'm building. And the floods will come suddenly. And the people of Noah's day obviously just ignored him. Maybe they ridiculed him and laughed at him. But they obviously ignored him. And then suddenly one day, the ark was now finished. And all the animals that God was going to bring into the ark had all come. And they'd all entered the ark. All the birds and the animals and the reptiles, everything had come into the ark. And Noah and his family, his wife, his three sons, and their wives entered the ark. And God closed the door of the ark. And then it began to rain. And chasms appeared in the ground. And water began to appear from under the earth. And the water levels began to rise. And Jesus says, in that day, he says, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, they were just living their normal lives, their everyday lives. They weren't, you know, engaged in particular sins or anything like that, but they were just engaged in everyday life, completely unaware. They woke up that morning. And they, well, no, today life will go on as usual. They just woke up that morning and began to make plans for the day. Now what are we going to do today? Or there's some work to do, family to visit, people to invite and so on. Just the normal events of the day. But then sometime during the day, the water began to appear, rain began to appear. And water began to, and they said, wait a minute, this is something unusual. We've never seen this before. And it caught them out by surprise. The waters appeared when no one expected it. And it came, and the levels rose and rose and rose. And every living thing on earth died. We read that, didn't we, in the book of Genesis. Every animal, every human being, every bird, everything in the sea, all died except those who were in the ark. The second coming is going to be sudden and unexpected. And Jesus applies this in verse 42. Jesus says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And he gives them an illustration. He says, imagine this man who owns a house knew exactly at what time of the night the thieves were coming. Well, he would be ready. But if he doesn't know exactly what time the thieves are coming, he can't be ready. Well, he says, he has to stay awake. You know, he doesn't know what time the thieves are coming. So he just has to stay awake the whole night. So he says in verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Friends, we know one thing for sure, the Lord Jesus is coming. That is a stated fact. There is no doubt about it. There is no ambiguity about it. The Bible is absolutely clear on it. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will return. We do not know when. You will not be able to work it out. You may read every book on the subject and hear every sermon on the subject. And you may bring out your calculator and do all your calculations. And you may read every book of the Bible and look at all the signs and do all your calculations. You will be wrong. We do not know when. The way to prepare for the second coming is not to bring the calculator out. The way to be prepared for the second coming is to be ready for when that day comes. It is to be saved. It is to be in the ark. It is to trust Christ. So that is the first great lesson from the Noah and the Ark about the second coming of Christ. The second coming is going to be sudden and unexpected. And then the second lesson is this, of course, that the second coming will be a time of great and eternal separation. It will be a time of a great and eternal separation. Jesus says that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. This separation occurred. Noah and his family in the ark, and the rest of mankind on the earth. And the floods came. And the ark was secure. The floods lifted the ark. And the flood waters might have battered the ark. But the ark was of God's design. It was God's provision. And the ark kept them safe. And so Noah and his family are in the ark. And the rest of mankind are on the earth. This separation. And those who are in the ark remain. And those who are on the earth are swept away. And Jesus says in verse 40, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. This great separation. God's people will remain because they're in Christ, and those who are not God's people will be swept away into eternal judgment. Now, this is a hugely somber lesson. Can I share this with you very honestly? I have found it very, very difficult this week studying this passage and looking at its meaning. Not difficult because it's a difficult passage to understand. When the Lord Jesus spoke on hugely important matters, he was never difficult to understand. He wanted to be absolutely clear and simple. But it's emotionally difficult. Because you have to think about this, don't you? And you think, if the Lord Jesus were to return today, those of my neighbors who are unsaved will be swept away. Those who are my friends who are unsaved will be swept away. Those who are of my family who are unsaved will be swept away. And it will be an eternal separation. Now we have to take this very, very seriously. Only those who were in the ark were safe from the waters of the flood. And only those who are in Christ will be safe from the wrath of God on the day of judgment. And this is not a time to be ambiguous, unclear, vague about these things. Because there's nothing ambiguous and unclear and vague about the second coming and the judgment to come. This is not a time to say, well, of course, I believe. Can I say this to you? That's too vague. That's too unclear. All sorts of people believe. They believe in all kinds of things. Simply to say, well, I believe. I'm sorry, that isn't enough. This is a hugely important moment. Jesus Christ is coming back, and there will be this separation. And it's only those who know, I have believed in Christ. I have been born again by the Spirit of God. I have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have repented of my sin. I have spoken to him in prayer, and I have said to him, I am a sinner. I'm like the Israelites in Egypt, unable to save myself, a slave of sin, unable to do anything about my condition. You must save me. We sang, Rock of Ages, thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Because I have nothing in my own power that can save me. Have you come to Jesus? Have you prayed to him? Have you asked him to save you? Have you repented of your sin? Have you told him you're a great sinner and you can do nothing to save yourself? Have you said to him, Lord Jesus, if you don't save me, I will be swept away at the second coming. You must save me. Have you asked him to save you? Have you put your trust in him? Is there a definite belief, or is it just vague and uncertain? Vagueness and uncertainty will not do. This is a huge event that is coming. I expect there were people in Noah's day who said, well, I believe in God. And I believe that there is a creator. But that didn't save them. Did they enter the ark? If they didn't enter the ark, they didn't get saved. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? In the middle of the night when you wake up and your conscience troubles you about your sin, are you able to say with a clear conscience, yes, I know I have sinned, but Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ shed his blood for me. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for me. And I am saved through his death. I am saved through the blood that was shed for me. Have you got that clear and direct and definite? Or is it vague and uncertain? I must bring this to you because this is such a huge moment in the history of mankind. The Lord Jesus is coming, and there will be a separation. And those who are in Christ will be safe. Yes, the judgment of God will reign upon this earth. Yes, there will be a day of tremendous judgment when the fury of God, the wrath of God, the anger of God, the justice of God will all be poured down upon this earth. Just as the flood waters came. But just as those who were in the ark were safe and the waters couldn't touch them, it rained and rained and rained, but the ark kept them safe. The levels of the water rose and rose and rose, but the ark kept them safe. The ark was secure. It was God's provision, and it kept them secure. Christ has been sent from God, and all who are in Christ will be kept safe. All of God's wrath will be poured out, but Christ keeps his safe. We will not be affected by the judgment. We will not be under the wrath of God if we are saved. Christ will keep us safe on the day of judgment. But those who are not in Christ, the wrath of God will sweep them away. It is a day of a great and an eternal separation. Are you in Christ? Have you trusted in Him? Have you put your faith in Him? Is He your Lord and your Savior? So that's the second lesson from the ark about the second coming. It is a time of a great and an eternal separation. And then there's a third lesson. Now this third lesson isn't from Matthew, it's from the passage in Genesis that I read. And the third lesson is this, that the second coming will lead to a new heaven and a new earth where God's people will dwell for eternity. Because this is what happened with Noah and his people. We read this in Genesis chapter 8. And we read that when the rains had finished and the waters had all subsided, we read that the ark came to a rest and Noah opened the door and he and his family and all the animals came out. And they began life on earth anew. Now I know sin was still here. Of course it was. Sin was still in their hearts and sin was still on the earth. I know all that. But there is a picture here, isn't there, of God's people after the judgment starting life anew on a new earth. And it is a picture of what will happen when the Lord Jesus returns. What will happen? Well, God's people will be kept safe. And this whole earth will be renewed. The Bible says that the curse of sin will be removed from it. So there will be no more death, no more illness, no more of the things that cause us grief. The effects of sin will all be removed. It will be a new earth. It will be perfect, sinless. It'll be a wonderful place. And God's people, in their resurrection bodies, all sin removed from us. And in our resurrection bodies, we will come into this new earth and we will live here for eternity. This is the Bible's teaching, a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. That's how the Apostle Peter wrote it. So the ark, you see, is a picture of what happens to God's people after the judgment, a new earth where God's people dwell. And this is the hope of God's people. You look at the world today, and you look at the effects of sin. You read about the wars that are going on. They break your heart. You watch television, you see children suffering, women suffering in the Middle East, in the Ukraine. You see starvation, famine, and so on. And the effect that sin has had on this earth. And you yearn, don't you, for deliverance from all this. Well, a day of deliverance is coming. A day is coming when the Lord Jesus will return. And He will remove the curse of sin and all the effects of sin from this earth. It'll be a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth. And God's people will dwell in righteousness, in resurrection bodies. Sin will be removed from us. The effects of sin, the effects of aging and deterioration of sight and hearing and so on. All of that will go. Resurrection bodies. No sin to hinder our enjoyment of God. No sin to hinder our love of God. We will love Him with a pure heart and we will know His love for us with a pure heart. This joyful union between God and His people in perfection. I know it sounds fantasy. It isn't fantasy. It's reality. There is a hope for God's people. It is a hope of joy and love and peace for eternity as God's people in Christ dwell with Him and love Him and enjoy Him and enjoy fellowship with Him. It is a world of love and joy and peace. And God is going to create that after the second coming of His Son. So praise God for the Christian hope. Doesn't it make your heart yearn for that? Don't you cry out for it? Right at the end of Revelation, God's people say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." We can't wait for His coming because we know what His coming will bring. It will bring this perfection. It will bring this heaven to earth. It will bring this perfect union between Christ and His people. It will bring this perfect world of love and joy. And so we cry out to Him, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." So there is a great hope for God's people after the second coming. It will lead to a new heaven and a new earth where God's people will dwell for eternity. So three lessons about the second coming of Christ from the story of Noah and the flood. It is going to be sudden and unexpected. It will be a time of a great and eternal separation, and it will lead to a new heaven and a new earth.